Welcome to the Mama Truth Show, where soulful mamas embrace the whole truth of the messiness and magic of motherhood. Check us out at mamatruthshow.com. Here's your host, Amy Ehlers, the wake-up call coach.
Happy Mama Truth Monday, mamas. It's Amy Ehlers here, the wake-up call coach, back with another Mama Truth Show. And today, I just have a question for you. Are you ready to be 100% guilt-free about your self-care? Can I get an amen? I mean, seriously, like, we need this so badly in our lives. And I have the perfect person to help guide us to doing just that. Her name is Tammy Hackbarth, and you can visit her at Tammy, which is T-A-M-I, hackbarth.com. And of course, you can see that in the show notes. And she is the 100% guilt-free self-care coach. She coaches women to drop the story that self-care is selfish and be a powerful and strong leader in their life. Can you see why I invited her to be on the Mama Truth Show? She's speaking my language. So with that, welcome to the show, Tammy. I'm so grateful that you're here with us.
Thanks for having me, Amy. I'm really glad to be here.
Awesome. So, okay, so let's just dive right in. Tell me what you mean by 100% guilt-free self-care, and like, what had you even have to put guilt-free in there?
That's such a good question. So, So my job and my career evolved from, I worked in politics, I was a teacher, and then I became a yoga teacher. And I was working with a coach, and she was like, dude, what do you really do?
Uh-huh.
I was like, well, I really teach people how to take care of themselves, people meaning women, to take care of themselves so they feel good when they wake up, all through their day. And I said, but the thing is that people are like, but I don't have time, I'm taking care of all these other people. And the evolution came around about the guilt-free part was last year, I did what I called the 100 Women Project, where I interviewed 100 women about self-care. And
wow.
I asked them, what is self-care? I wanted to know if people were really ingesting the message that self-care was about manis and pedis and getaways and massage. And if that's where they were ending, I was like, well, you're not going to feel that good at the end.
Right.
And so I asked 100 women, what is it? Where is it going well in your life? Where are you struggling? And that's where everybody gave me their big exercise confession. Here's a big newsflash. Nobody's going to the gym enough. And I was like, and here is my absolving you all
right.
of your guilt over exercise. And then the last thing I said was, but what's the deep down sort of secret thing that you hear in your head? What's the whisper about self-care?
Mm.
And Amy, like 70% of the people I talked to, they were like, dude, self-care is selfish.
Wow.
And I was like, that's why people are struggling so much. And so when they said that, I was like, tell me where you got that from.
Yeah.
And I heard from a lot of people were like, my mom.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, cool. right. And it's a super generational thing. So lots of people heard it from their mom.
Yeah.
There is this like superwoman, super mom cultural myth. There's the, you have to give to others in order to be considered a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other people, I fell into this other camp, which I thought I was this super high maintenance, like Sally from When Harry Met Sally turned up to 100.
Right.
Where I was like, I'm just crazy. That's why I need all this extra stuff. And so when I was fighting with that demon, I went to a health coach and she was like, well, tell me what you mean about high maintenance. And I told her all the stuff I was thinking. And she was like, no, dude, human beings need that.
Yeah.
That's just human maintenance that you got going on. And I was like, so I'm just human? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, cool. I can stop feeling like I'm some sort of broken high maintenance broad. And I was like, I'm just going to take care of this thing. You know, this housing mechanism for my spirit, if you will.
Yeah.
So that I can go forth and do great work in the world. So my thought was like, oh, this is why women really struggle with taking care of themselves, is because there's all of these messages being thrown at them that they're not a good mom, or they're not a good wife, or they're not a good woman. And then there was a sub-strand of women, the younger women, who were like, yeah, I don't even know if I can have kids because I'm not even good at adulting. I can't even take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, I could raise my hand on that. so I got over that eventually. But I was like, wow, we have some mindset stuff to work on in order for women to really be able to fully embody who they are so that they can bring forth this great work in the world. Whatever their work is, you can't do great work if you're run ragged.
Right.
And you don't teach your kids well, male or female, by doing everything for them.
Oh my gosh, there's so much good stuff in what you just said. So the first thing that I just want to ask the listeners right now, will you just list off those interview questions that you said too? Because I think yes. This is like excellent journal prompts for every single person listening, like to do a self-care pulse check with yourself right now to see what your beliefs are about self-care. So will you say those questions again so that we can actually write them down?
Yes, absolutely. So question number one is, what is self-care for you? How do you define it?
Great. Okay.
Right. And of course I have sort of a longer self-care definition for myself and my clients, which I can explain later if you want.
Yeah.
The second question is, where's your self-care going well? What are you able to celebrate about how you care for yourself?
Yeah. That's good.
The third thing is where you struggle.
Yeah.
Right. And then put a little asterisk that says, Tammy forgives you for not going to the gym. Amy forgives you for whatever exercise confession you have. It's okay. No one does. Welcome to the club. Exactly. Right. And then the last thing is, when those questions have settled, close your eyes and ask yourself, but what are the messages? What do you really think about self-care? What's holding you back?
Yeah.
And let the answer bubble up.
Yeah.
Let it surprise you. Let your deep down thoughts about it. Yeah. I sometimes when I ask a question, I would go, what's your deep dark secret about it? And that's where people, they couldn't get it out fast enough. They're like, oh my God, it's selfish. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
And like I said, people are in great company because a majority of my interview subjects said it was selfish.
So powerful. So mamas, I really want to encourage you to do this. And then it's like, I'd even add a last question. What do you want to teach your kids about self-care? Right? Because that's like you were talking about the modeling. Like if we model that we never have time for ourselves, if we model for our children that we're always have to be last on the list, that you have to sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice and mother and sacrifice. And I love that all of your like 20 somethings were like, and I'll never have kids because I can't like deal with that sacrificing. I don't know how to be adulting correctly and all that stuff. It makes perfect sense that then they would be completely turned off by this whole role of motherhood and how much you have to give up.
Yeah. One of the ways, so I had a series, it was funny. People self-selected. All they had to do was get on my schedule and be a woman.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. And I interviewed like tons of strangers.
Yeah.
And, but they, I had some themes. That, and it was interesting because they kind of came together. So early on, three of my calls mentioned straight away that they had school age kids. And they said, I hope I'm not accidentally raising a doormat daughter and a douchebag son. And I was like, well, drop the mic, because guess what?
Wow.
Your son is learning how women operate in the world from you.
Yep.
And what they can expect for their future partner to do.
Yeah.
And their daughter is learning how to be a woman from you.
Right.
So how do you want your kids to be in the world? If you don't want them to carry the same baggage that you're carrying from your mom, you have to do things differently, even if it's uncomfortable.
That's right.
Like you need to like forge this new path in order for change to happen, not just for yourself and the women in your community, but for your kids.
Totally.
Oh, it's a game changer.
I just, that like breaks my heart to hear doormat daughter and douchebag son. It's like, oh my gosh, that's so not who we want to be raising.
Exactly. And that idea of like, you're accidentally doing it in this very subtle, subdued, passive way. You're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Cause you're doing all the right things.
Right.
And yet you're having these unintended consequences because you're not putting yourself on the agenda.
Yeah, I remember years ago during my first book launch back in 2011 for my first book, and I did this exercise where I had people turn to the person next to them and say what they're hard on themselves about. And then I had, and I've told this story before on the show, but it bears repeating, that I had this mom raise her hand, and she was there with her 20-something daughter. And she
heard you mention that the other day.
No, yeah, it was like, yeah, we're hard on ourselves about the same thing. And I was like, that is deep. Like that is is so deep, and it's, I get chills when I think about it, because raising two girls myself, it's like, my gosh, I so want them to be free from the things that I'm hard on myself about. I so want them to be free from thinking that taking care of yourself means that you're high maintenance.
Right. Or like letting go of all the diet culture stuff and the body image stuff. You're like, it's so subtle and it gets in there so easily.
Oh yeah.
But it's up to us to like really clean up our side of the street in order to like invite this new generation in.
So what would you say to a mom that's listening that is that, like, maybe she's listening to this while she's working out, or she's listening to the show right now while she's like running around like a crazy person trying to get her kids to the next activity or whatever. You know, it's like, what do you say is a good first step for the mom that wants to start taking better care of herself and be guilt-free about it?
My number one self-care secret, Amy.
Yeah.
It's going to be super unconventional for a lot of listeners.
Oh, good.
Okay. Are you ready for this? And you're going to be like, oh, I know what it is. Self-compassion.
Yeah.
Right? It's three parts. Kristen Neff work on self-compassion. The first is self-kindness.
Yeah.
You cannot change behavior by whipping yourself. Right. By being mean to yourself, by shaming yourself. Yeah. Much like you can't like shame a kid into changing, you can't shame yourself into changing. So first, self-kindness.
Yeah.
The second, realizing everybody around you is suffering. And third is practicing mindfulness. Just catching yourself like, I'm doing the thing again. Maybe I could cut myself a break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Beautiful.
It is such a mindset shift from more, harder, faster, better. Like, who really thrives in that super masculine go, go, go? I would argue none of us.
Yeah.
And certainly not the female part of the species. We're not built that way. Like, we're not energetically made that way. And and I know I lived the first 39 years of my life that way.
Yeah.
So I'm 47 now. Yeah. And I really started practicing self-care really religiously when I turned 40. And everyone growing up, everyone's always like, oh, your 40s are great. And I was like, I don't get it. And now I get it. I'm like, oh, because you're released from all those things that you worried about before. And now you're like, I have potentially like the same amount of years in front of me as I do behind. I really want to make these better.
Yeah.
Because the first 40 were kind of hard.
Yeah.
Mostly because of myself, by the way. Mm-hmm. Right. So if nothing else changes in your life, nothing. Bringing a sense of being kind to yourself about everything can change your relationship with your kids, can change your relationship with your spouse, can change your relationship. It can just change everything. It softens the edges. Takes the little, the hard crunchiness off. You probably sleep better. Face might clear up.
Yeah.
You might stress eat or stress drink less.
Yeah. I love that so much. I mean, you know, you're speaking my language. Like it's just, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I wanted to speak to, you mentioned about, you know, like criticizing ourselves, being hard on ourselves, like being our own whipping post to like push ourselves to go further, go faster. And you said, you know, it doesn't really work. And the thing I think that can be really confusing about it is that it can work for the external things.
Yes.
Right. And so that I feel like can make it like, it can mean that you bust your ass and you get the promotion, or you get to 7 figures in your business, or you get those last 10 vanity pounds off, or you get like, you can actually punish yourself and be cruel to yourself and have these external things. But you and I know, Tammy, because we've coached women like this, you know, for me over 17 years now, that then the external looks great and they're fucking miserable. Miserable on the inside.
I have that exact story. So I started my career in politics and I realized, oh, this is really a bad fit for my personality. So I kind of like tiptoed backwards away, like, okay, that was a really good decade long experience and that's not for you. Then I became a teacher and I love being a teacher. Loved it. but I didn't take care of myself the first few years. And when I don't take care of myself, how that shows up is I'm super rigid.
Yeah.
I get really nitpicky about perfectionistic things. It's kind of unpleasant to be around.
Yeah.
By the way, that works wonders with nine-year-olds. They totally respond to rigidity and grouchiness. Not at all. And so one time I went into my principal's office probably to complain about how somebody wasn't meeting my standards. And he turned it on me and he said, "Are you happy?" And by the way, great teacher. Despite my grouchiness, great high-achieving students, high-achieving teacher. Lauded, like so many people are like, "You're the best, you're the best." He said, "Are you happy?" And I burst into tears. Oh. And I said, "Oh my God, of course I'm not happy." And he was like, "Dude, you might want to rethink this career."
Yeah.
And I was like, "You are crazy and off topic. We need to go back to my complaint." But it really, it woke me up because yeah. I thought, but I love this job and I love the idea of calling myself a teacher and I love what I'm doing and I love, but I'm not happy.
Right.
I live in my own life. And even if it looks good to everyone else, I'm not happy.
Right.
It feels terrible inside.
Yeah.
So I made the choice to try to figure out how to change that. And if things on the outside were less shiny, so yeah. be it, because I changed from how things looked on the outside to feeling good on the inside. So I started prioritizing sleep and prioritizing, you know, exercise, not as punishment, but as movement, joyful movement.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a human machine, you actually have to move it or lose it. I prioritized going to yoga class because the studio where I worked and I wasn't working then, but where I taught or took classes was there was a big emphasis on self-kindness in the practice. And I was like, well, I'm going to do this. And what I found out is when I took care of myself and I was happier, my proverbial cup was full and I was nicer. My students more effortlessly succeeded at the same level, some of them higher, and I felt good while I was doing a thing that I loved.
I love that not only did you feel good and you feel happier, but your students actually, you know, excelled.
Well, it's that whole mirror neuron thing.
Yeah.
Right? Where you get back what you put out.
Yeah.
My students were like, if you want negativity, give us some negativity.
Right.
If you want some love, throw out some love. And when you have 20 to 34 students, depending on what grade you're teaching, there's a lot of little mirrors being held up in your face.
Right.
Right. It's one thing if you have one or two kids at home, but when you are a teacher,
yeah,
students are like, what's up? Here's your ugly bits. Or here's your greatness.
Yeah.
You choose.
Yeah.
It's up to you because you get back what you put out. And I see that now that I'm coaching and I work at home. I have a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
When I'm like coming at her snarled and grouchy, my daughter, she, bless her heart, she'll go, "Have you meditated?" I'm like, "No, why?" And she's like, "You might want to take a few minutes and like go get that worked out because wow."
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. I love it when my daughters are the same way, like with, they're like my little meditation accountability partners.
Because mm-hmm. it makes such a big difference, right? It's the difference between living with that really grouchy lizard versus being the parent that you want to be.
Totally.
And it's like, exactly. Yeah. It's like, wow, something that takes 15 minutes a day can take me from this rageaholic grouch face,
right?
To, because you know your kids install all your buttons,
right?
And they're like ding 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 ding.
Yeah.
But when I added meditation into my self-care repertoire on a regular basis 4 years ago, I was like, wow, I have like 3 seconds between like my rage button being pushed and I cannot react that way.
Yeah.
Because I can see it.
Yep.
I can see it coming.
Yep.
And then I can make a decision if I want to lash out and rage at my kid or if I'd like to do something else. Sometimes I just choose rage. Right. Not often, but it happens. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. You said that you have a specific definition of self-care, and I was curious if we can circle back to that definition for you.
Yeah. I think of self-care as having four parts. So your physical body, right? So how do you make the machine that holds your soul work? Mm-hmm. And then your mental body. So how are you taking care of the inner workings in your head, right? How are you learning? How are you growing? My favorite is how are you taking the life lessons that you keep getting and are you applying that or are you just learning the same life lessons again?
Ooh.
Right?
That's a deep question.
It's a deep question because unless you're spending time like reflecting on what you're doing during the day and how you're reacting to it, you could have these patterns that go on forever and ever. I had a 10-year career where I was like, I was job hopping, hoping things would change. It turned out I needed to change industry. The industry could stay just fine. But it took 10 years to figure that out because I was just blindly going through life. So physical body, your mental body, your emotional body. So how are your relationships with others?
Yeah.
And how are your relationships with yourself? Mm. And it always trips people up because people are like, what do you mean my relationship with myself? I'm like, well, do you beat yourself up on a regular basis? Right. Are you this person who, I hear this a lot, this, because I hear it a lot because I used to do this. I just want to do the best job ever in the history of the world on the thing. Yeah. And it's whatever the thing is. And all things need to be done at 100%. I need an A+ on everything. I need to make an A+ on making my bed and an A+ at work and an A+ at grocery shopping. And like, do you really? And if you fail to get the A+, then you're beating yourself up.
Right.
And so if you're really, that takes a lot of energy.
It takes.
Right. There's scorekeeping.
Oh God.
And like you have to schedule in being feeling bad about yourself and schedule in eating too many Oreos. Right. And then you have to schedule in the beating up yourself about eating the Oreos and the wine and the, and then the last part is your spiritual body.
Yeah.
Right. So how a lot of people that's big G God, that's not me. I'm more like little G God found in nature.
Yeah.
Like I feel like for myself, like if there's water involved, it like cleans the slate. It could be a pool, a bathhouse, the ocean is the ultimate soul cleanser for me, but something that makes you feel bigger than yourself. 'Cause we're community creatures. That's how we thrive. So to be really intentional about how you grow your community so that you feel good, because it came to me, like I think I had a really good former life because I've had some of my best friends since elementary school.
Wow.
Like I'm going to a concert with them on Sunday night. Like I see them frequently. Wow. We talk. It's weird. But these are like high quality women.
Yeah.
Like straight away. I have never doubted for a moment that they had my back about everything.
That's so incredible to have that kind of sisterhood in your life.
Right?
Elementary school. Wow.
Exactly. And so when I went to college, I was really introduced to this idea of the frenemy idea. And I was like, but why would a woman do that to you? That's crazy talk.
Right.
Why would someone try to steal your boyfriend? Or why would someone leave you in a bar?
Yeah.
Leave with the dude? Or
right.
The myriad of other stupid things that women could do. And I was like, and this is like all before social media, like where apparently now you could be mean to women online.
Right.
I had no idea.
Right.
I lost my train of thought for a minute. The point being is that you want to really cultivate people, the relationships with people who you're like, damn, these people make me feel good to be me. They don't make you question what you're wearing or your hair or your career choice. They're just your people.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that like coming home feeling when you're with them, you just haven't found your people yet. And perhaps invest some in other new people.
Yeah.
Because they're out there.
Yeah. And so does that go, so you said there was the four different levels. So there was the taking care of your physical body, mm-hmm. level, the machine, as you put mm-hmm. it, that houses your soul, which I love that. And then there is taking care of your mental level, taking care of what you're putting in your mind. And then there was taking care of your emotional level, right? Mm-hmm. And that includes taking care of yourself and being kind to yourself. And then this fourth is your community.
Your spiritual part, yeah.
Yeah, your spiritual part, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. Right, and so the first step is really to like look and like do a baseline. Where mm-hmm. am I?
Yeah.
Have I forgotten this? Am I only worried about going to the gym? Do I, when I think of self-care, am I only thinking of my body?
Right.
Because that's right. how self-care is really talked about.
Right, totally.
In everything.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think there's sort of a mismatch between how when women think of self-care, there's so much emphasis on the body and the external parts that even if you had like 100% compliance exception, an A plus, if you will, in that yeah. one body section, you're still yeah. going to feel a little like unsettled and undone because the rest of your being is not really, you know, being taken care of. So right. the idea is that you start where you are
yeah,
with a sense of grace, which mm-hmm. is, this is where I am now. Probably going to be falling short in some of these.
Totally.
Lots of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And then decide like, well, what could I add in these other areas to feel good?
Yeah.
What would build those up? And not to do it all at once so that you get the like, and now I have failed. And so right. I will never do this.
Right.
Like, right. If you know, say your spiritual thing is water like mine, maybe once a month or once a quarter, you make sure that you get yourself into some sort of peaceful water situation.
Absolutely. Yes.
Right. And it doesn't have to be expensive.
Right.
And everyone's thing is different. Maybe your thing is church, like the kind, you know, like the building thing, but you never go because right. of maybe sports or some other commitment. But if that's the thing that fills you up or you get resistance from your family, they don't want to go. They don't have to go.
Right.
This is for you.
Right.
Right. You don't have to have this, like everyone in your life doesn't have to fulfill all these things because one of the things I try to do at our house is I think of, so we're a family of three. There's a mom and a dad and a kid. And I think of us as a stool. So we're mm-hmm. each a leg of a stool. And if one of the legs is short, stool's going to fall down.
Right.
So I try to ask my husband, like, what do you need?
Right.
And then make sure he gets it. So then I get it.
Totally.
Right. He just came back from a trip last night where I was like, you were gone like 36 hours too long for my taste.
Right.
But that was because I had gone on two trips without the family.
Right.
Right. And so we do this back and forth check-in, like, what do you need to make this work?
Yeah.
And then we try to make sure that we are meeting our kids' needs so that it cuts down on her naughtiness, really.
Right. Right.
Like, it's like if your kid has the right food and enough rest and enough play time and enough together time and enough alone, when people's needs are met, they feel good.
It brings out the best in everyone.
It does.
And I love, my husband and I do very similar in terms of, I'm always like, babe, what do you need? Like, what's going on with you? Because I don't know if you are into the Enneagram at all, but
that's my next realm.
It is. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, I love the Enneagram and my husband's a 9 on the Enneagram, and 9s on the Enneagram are notorious for absolutely blind spot around self-care. Like just, it doesn't even occur to him. Like he I'll look at him and be like, you know, like even like a simple thing, like, babe, you need to go get a haircut. Like what is happening over there? You know, like, and it's like, it's like it didn't, like he doesn't even like, it's such a blind spot. And I'm like, okay, I am going, like, I am your wife. We've been together now 17 years. It's our 13th wedding anniversary actually today.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much. Lucky 13. And, you know, I said to him a while ago, I'm like, oh, I get it. Like if I like make an annual checkup for you for the doctor and make sure that you get your teeth cleaned every 6 months, like me doing this for you is actually a gift that I can give you. Because it's not that you don't love yourself. It's not that you don't care about yourself even.
It's that there is a major blind spot around just like these basic self-care things, right? So we've set things up in his schedule. Like he goes and sees this healer voodoo lady, you know, every other week. And it's like his thing. She does cranial sacral and does this stuff on him. And I'm like, we just need to like, that's your investment in you being here for a long time on the planet, which I really prefer, you know?
What's funny is two things I think of is, one is you making these appointments, like this is present self taking care of future self. And you're like, so like, I need you to co-parent our children. So I need to help you achieve whatever self-care goals you have because we're a team.
That's right.
So if I need to make your appointments to make this happen, cool.
Yeah, and it's no sweat, but it was like, I had that my inner mean girl, right? That was saying to me, you're being a nagging wife. Like you're nagging him about this.
Oh.
And then I finally had to reframe it for myself and reframe it for him. Like, babe, I have a gift of being able to track this. Totally. So I'm going to help you track this. And he was like, thank you. So it became like this whole other thing.
But you also like framed it as a team.
Totally. Exactly.
You're like,
came it as a team. Like your self-care is important to this family, to mm-hmm. me, my self-care is important. He's always, I mean, I don't think I've ever once said to him, okay, babe, I want to go out for a girls' night, or I'm going to go meet with my mom's group, or I'm going to go meet with my mastermind, or I'm going to go meet with the gazillion healers and coaches and whatever that I invest in for myself because I'm really good at doing that. Never once has he said no, right? That's just the type of relationship that we have because he knows that I'm going to come back happier, healthier, a better wife, be around longer, all of those things, right? It, like you said, the stool, like in our case, we're a table since there's four of us.
Exactly.
Everybody has a piece of that. So for all of you listening, really looking at if you have a partner, a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever it is, and you are co-parenting with that person or even a roommate, or maybe you live with your mom or your dad or whatever it is, it's like really looking at self-care as a project for the entire family unit.
You know, what's really interesting is in my 100 Women project, I interviewed so like I said earlier, they're self-selecting. So yeah. I the youngest woman I interviewed was 25.
Okay.
And the oldest woman I interviewed was 70.
Oh,
but wow. I had this group of like feisty 49 to 55 year olds who were like throwing down the gauntlet about self-care. Like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, where do these people spring from? And they were like, yeah. Oh yeah, I got divorced.
Oh, interesting.
Right? They were like, I broke free because they had lived the traditional get married, sacrifice for the family,
right.
do all the things. And right. then when their kids were out of the house, they're like, I'm out.
My time. Me.
My time. I'm done. I didn't get a support from any of you. I'm done. And I was like, dang. So that could be in people's futures, right? Like right. invest in your relationship with yourself and your spouse as a partner so that you can continue on after your kids have left. Otherwise there's a lot of people that get divorced in like their late 40s, early 50s. Cause they're like, I'm done.
Totally.
Cause they've done all the caregiving that they are interested in doing. They're like, oh, used up all those caregiving points. Don't have any more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then I have some friends who have parents that got divorced and that later, and then how they show up as a grandparent is completely different because they've got nothing left to give in that department.
Mm-hmm.
Tapped out. No, mamas, don't tap yourself out. Take care of it now. It needs to be on the plate now, 100% guilt-free. So you need to go to Tammy's website, TammyHackbarth.com, which is TammyHackbarth.com. And it's in the show notes. And she has weekly self-care tips for you there. Definitely want to have you sign up for that. Tammy, we're wrapping up here, so I'm going to ask you the last question. Is there anything else you just wanted to say to the Mama Truth Show audience real quick before I ask you our last question, which I know you know, because I know you listen to the show.
I do. I guess I would just say is I feel like we're kind of starting a revolution. Like we're Gen Xers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we come from this generation that are questioners and are kind of, we've been billed as cynical. And I like to call it, we see things for what they are and we're not buying your BS if it doesn't work for us.
Right.
So yes, when you start practicing self-care, probably your older mom is gonna flick you shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you got an old school husband, they might flick you shit.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's okay. Start small.
Yeah.
And find other women who are like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take good care of myself because I want to be around for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. But we are starting a revolution that really begins at home.
Mm-hmm.
But people are not alone. And even if you're like, but nobody around me, it's like, go online. I'm on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's where Amy and I met because, you know, the power of social media is, you know, we offer tips.
Yep.
Listen to podcasts, join Facebook groups, go to a meetup, whatever, but find like-minded women who value themselves enough to really, really dig deep and go, what do I want for this life?
Yeah.
You're never alone.
Mm.
You just might have to find new people.
Yeah. So what's messy and what's magical about motherhood for you these days, Tammy?
Well, my husband is a teacher and my daughter goes to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means at the end of every school year, I go from this blissful work time of having like 6 hours alone to do all my work. I'm alone. I can do my self-care. I can do all the things to suddenly a house full of people.
Yes.
And I'm a super introvert. I practically have to walk around the house with like earbuds in with headphones on and like blinders where I'm like, you people need to leave me alone. Because what I found out is wet in the summer, especially, I have to have constant reminders that when I take care of myself, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And when I don't take care of myself, I make it my job to make sure everyone else is also unhappy.
Thank you for telling on yourself.
Right. It's like, I don't feel like, it's like, I just noticed a pattern.
Yeah.
I didn't like wake up this morning and think I'm going to make everyone miserable because I'm going to take care of myself. But it's sort of after the fact where I was like, I was not going to be in that alone.
Yeah.
I was going to take y'all down.
Yeah.
We're all going to feel good or we're all going to feel bad. So everyone, you know, take that note. It's like you get out, you get back what you put out.
Yeah.
So put out the good stuff.
Yeah. So good. And what about magical?
6 years old.
Oh,
right. My daughter has been a delight and a complete jerkhead her whole life. Right. Probably in equal measure, but I really try to focus on the positive.
Yeah.
But man, 6 years old and the age of reason.
Yeah.
Is so glorious.
Yeah.
It was like something when you're a toddler mom, people are like, oh my God, it's so much better. And you're like, do not tell me that. It does not get better.
Yeah.
And then it really does because suddenly you could say things like, well, remember that time when you did that thing and this is what happened? And they go, yeah. And you go, do you want that whole like chain of consequences from your actions to happen again? And they go, no. And then they don't do the thing.
Right.
So it's good. Glorious.
Yes.
It's so glorious. So yeah, six is magical.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. I absolutely love talking about self-care.
Oh my gosh. Me too. I know. We could talk all day.
Totally.
So good. It's so good. Mamas, keep practicing that self-care. Make sure to find Tammy on Instagram. If you haven't hooked up with me yet on Instagram, I'm Amy Ehlers Coach. Tammy is her name. Come and find us on Instagram. We're having a party over there. It's so fun. And with that, keep embracing the messiness and the magic of motherhood. Until next week, I'm sending you off with much love. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening, mamas. Did you know that Amy has a new ebook out? It's called Sacred Self-Care for Moms, 7 Steps to Nurturing Yourself so you can be the mom you were born to be. And you can receive your free copy by going to sacredselfcarebook.com. That's sacredselfcarebook.com. And please don't keep the Mama Truth Show a secret. The biggest compliment you can give is to share the Mama Truth Show with your loved ones and write a review on iTunes. Until next time, keep embracing the messiness and the magic of motherhood.